You might know Lisa Ling best for her work on CNN's This Is Life, where she has embedded in communities and countercultures around the country for 5 seasons. Or maybe you remember her from ABC's The View. Or maybe, like me, you grew up watching her on Channel 1 News in high school every morning. In any case, the lifelong journalist has certainly made an impact on the industry. And today, she's in Phoenix to be the keynote speaker at Valley of the Sun United Way's We Are United Luncheon to Fight Childhood Hunger. I got the chance to talk with her a little ahead of the event, and I began by asking her about her work on This Is Life. On the show, she goes around the country to communities that may have never seen a TV crew come into town before. So first I asked, what kind of reception do you get?
I'm pretty well received wherever we go now, because over the course of 6 seasons of working on This Is Life, I think people have come to recognize that our show is not one that is sensational or exploitative, and that my objective really is to hear people out and understand why people do what they do and why they think what they think, with the hope that, you know, the audience kind of develops a better understanding of their fellow humans. And I really think that there's value in that right now in this time when we are experiencing so much hostility and partisan dividedness and divisiveness. And so I'm really proud and excited about producing a show that just tries to foster a better understanding for and about people.
I just was talking to the director of the National Institute for Civil Discourse, and she was talking about the same kind of thing, trying to get people who they think cannot talk to each other about these divisive issues to have those conversations. And I think that's what's so remarkable about what you do on the show. How is it that you always go in so, I mean, unbiased is like a loaded word in today's media landscape, but so open?
Well, there is really a conscious effort on our part to do so, because at the end of the day, we all have preconceived ideas, right? And we all hold values that are dear to us. And when you interact with someone who has opposing views or has a different kind of value system, it's hard not to want to interject yours, right? Mm-hmm. And now in this culture of sort of spewing opinion and vitriol, it's hard not to engage, right?
Yeah.
And so we do make an effort to try and just meet people where they are and listen and kind of reserve our judgment in our opinion and try to have a civil dialogue with people. Mm. And when we do that, and when I do that, I always learn something. And I always realize that in many cases we have more that's alike than different. Mm-hmm. And that at the end of the day, no matter how different our value system may be, no matter where we come from or what we look like or what we may have been accused of doing, you know, we all want the same things, which is we all want security. We all want to be able to provide for our families. We all want to be safe. We just may have different ways to kind of attain those things.
Can you give us an example or two of a story that happened like that for you?
One off the top of my head is when I embedded with a militia in the state of Arizona.
Right.
They're the Southern Arizona militia. And I can't say that I walked away feeling like we were so similar. And this was right after the presidential election. And the reason why I decided to actually go in and embed with them was, you know, despite how divisive the presidential election was, irrespective of who won the election, if Hillary Clinton had won the election, they would have still welcomed me in. And so I decided to go. And I met one of the militia members whose son was gay. And, you know, I sort of went into it thinking that these were a bunch of, you know, far right wingers. And I kind of came out of it recognizing that they value not having government interference in their own lives. And one of the things that really struck me, because militias are obviously huge proponents of the Second Amendment and defenders of the Second Amendment, was just how careful and cautious they are with their firearms. They aren't people who are aimlessly, you know, firing their weapons off. Like they're ultra cautious with their weapons, and that was something that I appreciated about them. You know, and I explained to them the rights that I hold dear to me, like my reproductive rights, for example. And just being able to have a civil dialogue with people, it was nice, quite honestly. You know, it never got contentious because we agreed to hear each other out.
So you're coming to Phoenix to talk about childhood hunger. And I always wonder with topics like that that are so constant and always a challenge, does it ever surprise you that these things are not only getting better, but often getting worse?
Well, these issues are getting worse. And, you know, we see in this country the pretty exponential rise in families that are living homeless. I know here where I live in Los Angeles, we are experiencing rates of homelessness unlike anything that we've ever experienced. And this is a common thing that's been happening all over the western part of the United States. And so I appreciate organizations like the United Way because they are always on the front lines of these issues. And, you know, I think it's really vital that we take ownership of these issues because they are in our own backyard and they affect all of us. And I think it's really easy for us to drive by or look past issues in our communities. And I appreciate that organizations like United Way are not only trying to be of service to these communities, but also raise awareness that these issues persist in communities throughout the United States.
Okay, so before I let you go, I have to ask you about Channel One News, because I watched you on Channel One when I was in high school. Beyond that, though, I want to talk about this life. Like, you've been a journalist for so long, and you've seen journalism, I'm sure, change so much. Do you think that that's a good thing? And do you think that the media, with all of the controversy and all of the issues that surround media right now, is still something that's worth pursuing?
I definitely do. I mean, on the one hand, you know, I think we've become sort of susceptible to just being sort of like swipers and, you know, reading headlines and looking at tweets and not really digesting or seeking out context. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I think that as a result of that kind of phenomenon, there now is, I think, a really kind of vibrant desire and interest in consumers to actually understand context a little bit better. And so there are an increased number of opportunities to seek out substance or to find substance in the media. You know, many of them are online, but nevertheless, I do think that there is a desire among the consumers for content. And I see that as a positive.
Lisa Ling, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.